rage in the cage. On the MMA Madhouse Network, rage in the cage. On the MMA Madhouse Network, rage in the cage. Better keep your hands up, take down full mount without giving heads up. Secure your limbs or you're gonna hear a snap. This ground and pound will lay you down for a nap. I sink it in and my advice is you should tap. I wouldn't be scared because I'm comfortable on my back. And if we're talking about jujitsu, I promise my rubber guard will get you. Get you with my overhand, you won't know what hit you. I promise that the fans aren't gonna miss you. Rage in the cage. On the MMA Madhouse Network, rage in the cage. On the MMA Madhouse Network, rage in the cage. On the MMA Madhouse Network, rage in the cage. On the MMA Madhouse Network, rage in the cage. On the MMA Madhouse Network.
Hey everyone, welcome to number 5, our 5th episode of Rage in the Cage Radio right here on MMA Madhouse Network. I'm your host, Kimber Schaefer, along with co-host, pro MMA fighter, Dee Burtzfeld.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to be here on the post-fight show where we're going to be able to talk, Kimber, with some fighters and some people as we highlight Rage in the Cage 30. So it's going to be a very exciting episode tonight. So it's going to be great.
It will be great. Now, did I hear you just rapping along with that song, Dee?
Yeah, I rap to it. And you know, I dance every time I hear that song. And Skippy, you might even get it on this one. I dance like Bill Cosby. You remember growing up to Bill Cosby, the Cosby Show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know the Bill Cosby dance? Boom, boom, boom. That's how I start dancing. I mean, it brings it out in me every time. I love that intro.
Yeah, it's really good. So thankful for Radio Restoration and Alec Jeans and John Kaiser for putting that together for us. It rocks.
Yeah, it's very catchy. I like it.
Speaking about rocking, you rocked around an opponent in the ring this weekend, it sounded like, Dee Burtzfeld getting the win in the boxing match.
Well,
so tell us a little
boy
about
won.
It. I couldn't sleep then. I was like, oh, my gosh, I have to know. So tell us about it.
Well, I tell you what. I fought a guy out of Kansas, Jody Lifeout Lithicum. One tough kid. I went up to Miami, Oklahoma at Buffalo Run Casino, fought on a really good card with some really good boxers. I brought it to him. Definitely rocked him around and but, you know, he got up every time. I knocked him down 4 times the first round. On the 3rd time of the 2nd round, about a minute and a half through, referee Ritter called the fight because he had actually been knocked out of the ropes, so out of the ring. But, you know, he made me earn my check. I got to say, I had to keep bringing it. He wouldn't stay down. You know, from the first time he hit the ground, I thought he was knocked out, and I thought the fight was over then. So I had to keep bringing it, you know, and sleep hard, you know, hats off to him. I told him I got much love and respect for him, you know, and I wish him the best on his journey with his career and what he's doing.
Awesome. So
yeah, it was a great night. It was an amazing night. Miami, Oklahoma on fight nights are really awesome. I boxed for Bobby Dobbs there at HD Boxing, and Trey LePay Morrison was back on the card. One of my previous opponents that I lost to, and he's an amazing young man, son of Tommy Morrison. He boxed against a gentleman. I would lie if I told you his name, but he dropped him 42 seconds to a body shot. So Trey LePay Morrison, if any of his fans are listening or if he's listening, hats off on that win, and I think amazing future for him coming up boxing in Oklahoma.
That's awesome. And you told me also that, you know, your fight was Saturday night, the night after Rage in the Cage 30, and you told me that people, and your fight was in Tulsa, but you told me that there were people there that were actually commenting on Rage in the Cage 30. You were walking by and just would hear people talking about how awesome Raging the Cage 30 was, and mostly
yeah.
about the crowd. And tell us a little bit about what you heard that night.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Saturday at weigh-ins, when we had to show up, or Friday was weigh-ins, I'm sorry, and that was when Raging the Cage 30 was. That's why I was absent, and I was bummed that I had to miss it. So Saturday, as I'm walking by some of the commissioners, I know several of them, but they were just talking about how packed and how awesome the fights were in Oklahoma City. And I kind of just instantly knew they had to be talking about Rage in the Cage if they're talking about Oklahoma City on Friday night. So I kind of interrupted and said, "Is that Rage in the Cage you're talking about?" And they said, "Yes." And just everything positive came out of their mouth. And it was just about how a couple of the commissioners had thought it was the most packed they had ever seen the farmer's market in their whole career. So, you know, I wasn't there. I was bummed, but I had to be at weigh-ins. I had to go to work up here. This is an hour and a half north of Tulsa. This wasn't like in mainstream Tulsa news. This is Miami, Oklahoma, and people are talking about Rage in the Cage when they're talking about Oklahoma City MMA. So it was a really good feeling to be that I had my Rage in the Cage shirt on while I was there. So it felt really good to hear that feedback. So I was instantly excited and really happy to be back now down here and back on the radio with you to talk about this outstanding fight.
Well, awesome. I'm sure in the moment it really felt good to hear that news, because, I mean, I definitely like sharing it myself. So, well, let's talk about what we have ahead for this show tonight. As always, we have several awesome guests lined up for tonight. First, we're going to talk to Nashville recording artist Emily Faith about her performance at Rage in the Cage 30, the amazing reception she received from fans, and, you know, her career, what's going on with her career right now, and what's ahead for her.
Yeah, and we have Oklahoma's very own, one of my favorites, former Bellator fighter Jeremy Spoon, live with us tonight. You know, we're going to talk to him a little bit about his explosive win and Rage in the Cage 30, and the next big opportunity that's now opened up after this fight here, and see what Jeremy's got going on. So,
awesome. Then we're going to have Ken Coulter. He's one step ahead, of course, as you know, D, to making his dream come true of wearing that 155 title belt. We're going to talk to him about his win Friday night and his upcoming fight for the 155 title fight against current title holder Brody Carruth.
Yes, and Ken's so explosive. I love that. I also have Jacob Gaither, a.k.a. The Hulk. Man, we're going to get to talk to this guy about a starting off to a dominant MMA career. Very dominant, very aggressive. We're going to talk about some of his future plans and, of course, his win there for Raging the Cage 30, and see if The Hulk actually switched the switch. You know, I love this guy, Kimber, because he said, you know, he got the Hulk from when he gets in the cage. It's just like a flip, you know, a switch flip. So I want to find out if it flipped Friday night.
I tell you, it did. But
okay.
We'll talk more about his fight for sure. Then, you know, he's a jiu-jitsu competitor himself. We're going to talk to Shane McCabe. He's our ring announcer for Rage in the Cage, and he's going to give us a recap of Rage in the Cage 30 and talk a little bit about where he comes from, his background, and how he ended up as our ring announcer. So, you know, Dean, we talk about some of the most memorable moments from Rage in the Cage 30, and we're going to talk about that in the show. But I tell you, the most memorable moment to me was this little 11-year-old girl that sang the national anthem. I mean, I kid you not, I have goosebumps even in this moment still talking about this. Her voice was so powerful that, I mean, it was kind of weird. We turned to face the United States flag, and I caught myself doing it, and then I looked around and saw other people doing it. As we're turning to the flag and we hear her voice, I mean, every single head turned back to this little girl to make sure that it was really an 11-year-old girl that this voice was coming from. Her name is Emily Faith. She is a Nashville recording artist. She's from Oklahoma. She's on the show tonight, guys. She's going to be live in just a minute. But
That's
I do have
awesome.
A special treat. She sent us an original song that she recorded on her latest album. The song is called If You Believe It, and it is one of the 12 songs that she recorded on her first, her new CD titled Oklahoma Dreams. I believe this is her third CD. Emily will be live, as I said, in just a few moments. But let's go ahead and listen to the song so you guys can witness her talent like I did.
I'm excited. Beautiful voice. I agree. Beautiful voice.
Yeah, you would never know. She's 11 years old. And guess what, everybody? Emily's here with us. How exciting. Emily, how are you?
Good.
Awesome. Welcome to the show, sweetie.
Thank you.
It was so awesome for me to meet you Friday night and for you to perform for Rage in the Cage. Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, I have had goosebumps since then every time I talk about you. Your voice is amazing. And, I mean, you know, even live, there's something about hearing your voice live and singing the national anthem. And, I mean, girl, you are one talented little girl. And I understand this new CD was actually recorded with several of Reba McEntire's band members, actually, and you recorded it at Will Smith Studios. Is that right? Or?
I recorded it with several members of Reba McEntire's band, but it was actually recorded in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I bet that was exciting for you. Was that pretty exciting for you?
It was. It was really exciting, and it was a lot of fun, too.
So, you know, have you been able to meet Reba McEntire herself yet?
No, but I hope I will someday.
Awesome. But tell me some of the stars that you have either performed for or met. Or famous people.
I have met Marty Stewart, Sia Brown, Eden's Edge, Hunter Hayes. I met Luke Laird. He's a songwriter. And President Bush. And
oh, wow.
That's pretty much it.
You actually got to sing for President Bush once. Is that correct?
Yes.
How old were you then?
I was 6.
And where were you at
wow.
when you got to perform for him?
We were in Woodward.
Oh, so it's when he came to Oklahoma. Okay. So how many CDs do you have out now?
I have 3 CDs out, and I'm getting ready to release a single.
Tell us about the single.
I recorded it in L.A. at the Boom Boom Room, which is Will Smith's studio, and it's called Home, and it's about Oklahoma.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Now, you also, of course, write some of your own songs, is that correct?
Yes.
I mean, how at 11 years old, it just seems so amazing that you have that talent. So tell us a little bit about the process as you are writing a song.
Well, what I do is if I'm co-writing, I will go to the person who I'm writing with and I'll give them all of my ideas. And they'll throw out their ideas. And then we'll pick which one is our favorite. And then after that, we just bounce ideas after each other. And we put on music to, you know, get creative and get different ideas. And once we finish the song, we put a melody to it, and we get it recorded as soon as possible.
Oh, my gosh, Dee. I mean, 11 years old. She is so intelligent.
Yeah, I'm in shock. You know, I was kind of bummed. I was kind of bummed that I missed your performance, Emily, when I heard how it was. I was actually out of town. I was in Miami, Oklahoma, fighting, or I would have been there to hear it. But I was so glad, Kimber, that you had the song, that I got to hear your voice, Emily. And not only do you have a beautiful voice, but that was an inspirational song. So just really had me in shock and awe, and very proud of what you're doing in the business in Oklahoma. And I'm proud of you, so keep up the good work.
Yeah, and I'm hoping, of course, we have the other side of my team. Of course, those of you know that I worked in TV for many years, and I have a cameraman, Matt Jackson, who does all of our video work for Rage in the Cage. And, of course, he got Miss Emily on video. And so I can't wait till he gets that edited, and hopefully we can get it uploaded, and everybody can experience what I did. But when I tell you that the audience, I've never seen an MMA audience so in unison for anything, because, you know, a lot of times they're clapping for one guy, or they're, you know, you're watching a fight, but I have never seen a crowd stand up in unison and scream for anybody like I saw
them.
I heard
she stole the show. I heard she stole the show.
She did.
Great job, Emily.
The knockout of the night was not from a fighter. It was most definitely from Emily Faith, and she won over a lot of fans that night for sure. So, Emily, let's talk about what your future is. What I know you're recording a single. What are some of the other things that you're involved in right now? Emily, you there? Oh, did we lose her? Oh, Heartbreaking. Well,
heartbreaking technical difficulty.
I
know. That was a low blow.
Yeah.
Low blow.
Oh, goodness. Well,
what
maybe,
an amazing young lady.
Yeah, and maybe we can get her back on a little bit. But thankfully, she was able to answer a lot of our questions about her career. And, you know, the biggest thing is she just is such amazing talent. And we know that she is going to make it far. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And so, you know, if you want to follow her career, we are going to have links to her web page and everything up on Rage in the Cage website as soon as the show's over, or if you have a pen and a paper, I can give you that information as well. But you can just do a Google search for Emily Faith, and her website will come up. She's also got social media sites, great site on Facebook and Twitter. And if you go to her web page, you can actually download her music right there. And so, you know, anything that you want to know about this little girl is there on our website. It's very well done. And so I know her dreams ultimately is to sing at the Grand Ole Opry someday and to continue to share her music with God and others. And she's just a really a girl that has a good head on her shoulders, a Christian little girl that loves to sing and worship. And so, you know, it's just really exciting where she's going. Glad she could be on the show tonight. And we will definitely have her on again and use her music again from time to time, because, you know, who doesn't need a little inspiration every now and again?
Yeah.
And she definitely is able to do that. But you know what? We have our next guest already ready and in queue. We're going to go to Jeremy Sue now. Yeah, talk about his huge win at Rage in the Cage 30. He fought Cody Carrillo, both of them, of course, Bellator vets. And Jeremy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Hey.
Hey, Jeremy. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How about y'all?
We're doing good. It's always good on Monday nights. Man, this show just makes me happy. I enjoy doing it, and I love having you guys on, and just got to hear from Emily Faith. I know you were probably downstairs and didn't get to hear her at the show, but oh my gosh.
That's what
hate
I heard.
To tell you.
Really...
Yeah, I hate to tell you she stole the show.
That's what I heard. That's all right.
It's
I
okay.
Tell you,
you
Jeremy, I heard
second.
All the way in Miami, the commissioners were talking. Billy, he looked at me, he said, man, old Jeremy Spoon came out and put it on, oh boy, is what he said. So, you know, I heard it was an explosive win, and I've seen you fight. I know how you're fighting. It can become explosive for you in a moment's notice and the opponent in a great deal of danger. But, you know, why don't you kind of recap, if you don't mind, a little bit about your victory over Cody and Rage in the Cage 30. Because I wasn't there, you know. I've seen you fight before, though, and kind of what was your game plan going into it, and how did it kind of work out for you with the rear naked?
You know, our game plan was, you know, just to come out, you know, really put the pressure on him, you know, and dictate the pace of the fight. And that's basically what I've done.
Yeah, and what did he try to... What was it? I mean, was he answering any of the questions you had? I mean,
say what now? Can you repeat that?
What was he coming at you with as far as his game plan? And I'm sure you were answering the questions he had as far as what he was trying to bring to you. And was it
yeah,
was he looking for a stand up fight, or was this a fight that was on the ground?
Yeah, I think he was looking for a stand up fight. You know, he was a little longer, so I think he wanted to keep it on the fight. On the feet, try to use his range, but I felt I was a little faster, could counter a little bit, and, you know, I worked that a little bit. And I took him down and just a little ground and pound, you know, and then the end of the round came, you know, and he went in the second round and got him against the cage and put my hands on him and ended up taking him down and sinking a rear naked, choking him on him.
Yeah, if I remember
that
first round, he actually, it was stand-up for a while, and he actually tried to kick at one point, and you were able to catch his leg and take him down that way, I think, is how in that first round. And then, of course, you know, he got caught up on the side of the cage and just took a beating there for a while, but I have to give it to him. He took that beating really well. I mean, he was not giving up. He was going to fight, till the end.
Yeah, he came out with some kicks, and then I blocked him, and I caught the last one in the first round. I caught that one and did an inside-out trip, took him down, and he was very durable. He took some good shots and was still there. I was kind of surprised. I was really pushing to get the stoppage in the first round, but he hung in there and he did a good job, so.
Yeah.
He did. He did from an audience standpoint. We certainly, some of us were cringing and just like, just stop. So, yeah, definitely he's a tough guy.
Yeah, I really like to use him elbow when I get on the ground just to cut him, it is to kind of hurt him, but, I'm trying to cut him to try to get, a stoppage or
exactly.
TKO, it's a fight,
yeah.
So I'm trying to hurt him, but I'm not, it's,
yeah.
How
do you feel, Jeremy, about this victory, coming out of this fight? How do you feel about your performance? How do you feel you did? Kind of rate yourself, and then I want to talk about this next big opportunity that's coming available for you. So how do you feel coming out of this fight with this victory?
I felt good, man. I felt a little off, honestly. Like, I felt a little tired after the first round. I think I got to tweak some stuff in my training. I think what I done is did a little too much. I kind of peaked a little too early. So I'm going to have to back down this training camp for this next fight so I don't overtrain, because it's going to be very easy to overtrain for this fight since I'm already in good shape. So I'm going to tweak a few things and talking to get that W this next fight in September 12th.
Well, and that's for Kimber.
Next fight. Yeah.
Yeah. Kimber hasn't known yet, Jeremy. I kind of told Kimber a little bit about this opportunity, but I want you to be able to tell Kimber and all the fans that we have listening tonight about this opportunity in Iowa. So go ahead and spill the beans. Give us the good news.
It's
a belt fight.
Yes, for Victory Fight Championship. It's pretty good organization, actually, fighting for the belt. Like I said, fighting Ron Roberts, he's, I think, 19-10 or something like that. He's got a lot of fights, He's a tough opponent. I think right now he's ranked 58 in the world. So I'm hoping to climb back up the ladders after the HW, get back in the top 50 or so. So right now I think I'm sitting about 117 in the world. And at one point, I was ranked as high as 36 in the world. So now I'm trying to get back, climbing ladders, so I can get in, a bigger organization, But that fight in September is going to be a tough fight. So it's going to be a five-round war, I think. Hopefully, I think I'll be able to push the pace a little bit. He's a little older. I think I'll have an advantage. I know I'm faster. He's a pretty good wrestler. He's big, though. He's real big. He looks strong, too. So it's going to be a good and fun fight.
Well,
yeah, and I know you're more than capable of handling it. Isn't this fight in Iowa, Jeremy?
Yep, it's in
right?
Iowa. Yep. It's in Iowa, I think, Council Bluff. It's right by Omaha.
So,
it's like 10 minutes.
I know that being an Oklahoma fighter, I can relate. And to this next part of what I have to say, I can relate. And, you just fought for Rage in a Cage, had an amazing victory here at home. Now you've been presented with an opportunity out of state, several states away. And as an Oklahoma fighter, sometimes it's hard to get there to get these opportunities, because we live fight to fight a lot of times. And as I talked to your manager and I talked to you today, guys, I get to see Jeremy Spoon at Walmart. I got one up on everybody. I got to talk to you a little bit today about the trip to Iowa, and then I talked to Kimber, and we want to be able to try to do something here at Rage in the Cage, Kimber. I'd like you to be able to kind of talk a little bit about how we can try to find, try to be an outlet for you, Jeremy, for sponsorships and donations, because that type of trip, with your coaches going and everything else, the people there you need is quite expensive. And so I kind of want you to talk about that, and then Kimber can kind of offer some advice on what we can do here that I'd like to be able to help and be part of promoting an Oklahoma fighter that's going out of state to win a belt and to bring it back to Oklahoma. So,
yeah, I think I'm flying out, you know, I'm going to be flying out, you know, I'm trying to gather up a little money, you know, help with some plane tickets, you know, fly my coaches out there and, you know, whatnot, you know, and just try to get, because, man, I want my coaches there for this one, you know, so,
yeah,
it's like, I think it's going to be a tough fight, so, yeah, anything, any type of helps, I mean, it could be $5, anything's, you know, helpful, I ain't complaining, you know what I mean, so.
Yeah.
Do you have
part
one of those?
MMA.
It is, and do
go
you have
ahead,
one of
Kimber.
Those GoFundMe sites up or anything like that?
Man, I sure don't. I was told I need to try to get look into something like that. I haven't done it quite yet, though.
Yeah, I don't know particularly if you know how good they are always. But I have seen them being used before as a tool to raise funds for somebody on an event such as this, or you know, any kind of fundraising event. And so, you know, I don't know if it would be a huge tool that would fund everything, but at least it would be an avenue that people could use. You know, if we posted something like that on Facebook. And, of course, we would be more than happy to post for you as well on the Rage in the Cage site and see if we can't get some of our fans to help out.
Yeah.
In the...
And any of our listeners and Rage in the Cage and Oklahoma MMA fans, let's really pull together and get behind one of the best in Oklahoma, and let's help each other be the best we can be and giving back, and I think this is a very good cause to donate to, and getting Jeremy Spoon up here for this title. So, I'm very glad that we can be part of it.
And the thing is, here in Oklahoma, and it may be like this in a lot of states, but I know in Oklahoma we're family. And as far as MMA in Oklahoma, most people that are involved in MMA, we know of each other, and. You know, we're working to put Oklahoma on the map as far as MMA, and there's been a lot of guys like Jeremy Spoon that have made it to, you know, the big stage, Bellator and UFC, that are from Oklahoma. But we want to show that we're a true family. When somebody has an opportunity to do something like this, we want to stand behind them.
Yes, yes. That's exactly right.
Yeah, it is.
Well, what was your? I got a question for you, Jeremy. Besides your explosive victory, what was one of your most memorable moments you can pull out of Rage in the Cage 30? Because I know everyone was super amped. You were on the card, packed the whole event center, and everyone got to watch some Jeremy Spoon action. But what was one of your most memorable moments? Whether it was another fight or anything about the show, I just like to kind of get that pick at your brain a little bit.
Just how the Rage in the Cage treated me, you know, they treated me good, and all the fans, you know, when I came out, they were all cheering for me, you know, that's always good, you know, you get them little goosebumps, you know,
doesn't that feel awesome?
You know, everybody cheering for you, you know, that's just kind of gives you goosebumps,
know,
and it helps motivate you even more,
yeah.
You know, to get that big, gives you kind of like a second win, you know.
Another gear, yeah. It's like, that's what
yeah.
I say, like, when I'm fighting for Rage in a Cage in Oklahoma City, I feel at home. You know, I feel, it puts me on another level to where, you know, I just had this boxing show, and I know we were talking about it, and I won, and I won dominantly, and the fans weren't really behind me up in Miami, Oklahoma, because this guy was a more local guy. And I was thinking to myself, man, if this fight would have been at Rage in a Cage in Oklahoma City, it'd be off the roof, you know?
It's just
a different feeling, and Rage in the Cage can make you feel that way. Tell me, you know, go ahead and tell me a little bit more about that, because that's how I feel when I fight at home for Rage in the Cage.
You know, it's just a good feeling, you know, everybody behind you, supporting you, you know, and it's just a good feeling, you know, just everybody cheering for you and on you and all that, you know.
Yeah, and there's a good team and a lot of good people behind Rage in the Cage that that make these shows great, not just for us fighters, but the fans. But I know they made me feel, you know, special, and like I felt really, you know, cared about and taken care of. I'm sure you felt the same way fighting for them.
Yeah, definitely Mike Crawford. Yeah, he's a cool dude, you know. I've never really talked to him that other night. I talked to him at Wayne's, but I talked to him a lot after the fights, you know, up there, and he's a real cool dude, you know.
He's awesome,
good,
yeah.
Good supporter, you know, make you feel at home, like I said. Hopefully I'll get a fight for him again, you know, be cool. Back at Farmers Market in the city.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I know I didn't meet D until in March when he fought for us, and the first time we met was at pre-fight interview, so... I mean, and from then on, we've been friends. And same thing with you, Jeremy. I didn't meet you really in person. Now, you've been on a Rage in the Cage show before, just in a grappling match. But I don't even think I got to meet you that night. It was, of course, at the interviews that Matt and I did with you just about a month ago that I got to meet you the first time.
Yeah, so, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, how did you, were you happy with the end product as far as that video that we were able to do for your?
Yes, that was an awesome video. Like, thank y'all again. You know, I thank you and Mitch. Is that his name, Mitch?
Matt Jackson.
I thank y'all. I really thank y'all for promoting me like that. You know, that was special to me, you know.
Well, we really enjoy that. That's kind of, you know, God gives you certain blessings, and, you know, you just have to use them to bless others. And so we were definitely happy to do it. We enjoy it.
And hey, Jeremy, I want to – I'm sorry, Kimber.
You go ahead.
I want to give you a chance to – I know Kimber has stated we're going to post – she's going to post something on Rage in the Cage website where we can outreach to any fans that we have and fan base we have to support the Jeremy Spoon Iowa trip cause. You said that was Victory Fighting Championship?
Yes, sir. Yep.
And is there any other way if they want to get directly to you? I think you have a Facebook fan page. Is that correct?
Yep.
Or any way they can...
Yep. Facebook or my fan page. Either way, you know, either one. Give me a holler on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, Jeremy Spoon, you know.
Yeah, and this is everybody's chance, guys, both fighters, fans, you know, this is our chance to kind of step up and be about what we say about supporting our local MMA. Jeremy Spoon has paid his dues. He's an amazing, amazing man, both in the cage and out, represents Oklahoma very well, and I'd really like to see a big pool of people getting behind him. Like he said, $5 adds up. I mean, life of an Oklahoma professional fighter, I hope to do a show on one day with Kimber, because it's not as glorious as one may seem to think. I mean, there's a lot of time and money and stuff that goes into this that, you know, needs help from sponsors and backing. And Oklahoma's has had trouble with that in the past. But I think with the big pulling, you know, from Rage in the Cage stepping up in Oklahoma City, and we're getting a little more pulling here in Oklahoma, I'd really like to see the fans get behind this cause, and let's get one of our very own up to Iowa, and let's take that belt. How's that?
sounds good for all of us.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremy, before we end for this evening, is there anything else you wanted to say, any thank yous, that kind of thing? We usually like to give you guys the last word for any thank yous of sponsors or anything.
You know, I want to thank all my sponsors, you know, Total Package, with Daryl Terrell, ASNN, Advanced Supplements and Nutrition, you know, Drew Hawthorne and Kim Hawthorne with the Hawthorne Consulting. I know there's more. Greenway Formula 7 with Bug Pest Control. And I know that I'm missing some.
Scott,
what about
Anderson,
your one place that does your body massage deal?
Yeah,
Central cryotherapy.
Central cryotherapy, you know, they helped me.
Yeah,
that stuff feels amazing. Helps your body.
I want to try that.
Yeah, it's
no
really good. And I want to thank everyone that came out and supported me, you know.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Jeremy. We are, as always, we're honored to have you on the show. And if there's anything we can do for you or anything we can share on the Rage in the Cage side as far as the fundraising to get to Iowa, you know, we wish you the best in that. And, you know, let us know. Don't hesitate to let us know, and we'll definitely share it with our fans here on the radio show, but also, of course, on the Rage in the Cage site. So we really appreciate you being here, and we just wish you the best.
And I want to thank one more Srox for him with Kevin Srox. He helped me, too, so I want to thank him, too.
Awesome. Yeah, you don't want to forget anybody. And
yeah.
If you do forget anybody, we will let them know on Facebook for you. So just
I apologize
let us.
If we got anybody.
We put you on the spot, didn't we?
Thank you, Jeremy. Really appreciate you being on.
Thank you so much. All right,
bye-bye. Yes, our pleasure. Bye-bye. Oh, that was a great interview. He's a great guy.
He's an awesome young man.
Yeah, we're so excited for him and everything he has going for
him.
He is
so, he is so humble and competitive. And, I mean, this guy's tough, Kimber. I've known him for so many years. Back when I was at Guerrero's in Oklahoma City, one of the oldest boxing gyms in the state, him and his brother and Derek Canary would come up. And I mean, I remember these guys, they were just such good wrestlers. They were learning their stand-up at this point. And I mean, they were just taking body shots. These guys were just beasts. And so, but they've always been so humble and so about the fans and so about giving back that it's good to see people like that and fighters like that from Oklahoma going and becoming champions in other states as well,
Yeah, sounds great. Well, you know what? I just got a message from our show producer that our next guest is in queue and ready to talk. So, Ken Coulter.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you and Dee?
We're doing good. It's always a good night when
Ken Coulter's
on. Oh, I bet. I bet you're still just smiling from ear to ear after that win.
Only because I know what it's worth, because I know I get my actual chance to get a shot at the title. So, I'm actually headed back to working out tomorrow morning. And so it's just kind of, like I said, ready to go, and I got to put it behind me. I can't linger on it too long because, taking fights too close apart, you got to move.
Yeah.
No rest at all. Now, you said this, of course, for those of you that have not been to a Rage in the Cage fight, after each fight, of course, I go into the cage with my TV crew, and we do interviews there live in the cage. And I don't know your exact words, Ken, but you called Brody Carruth, who is the current 155 title holder, out right then and there, and you said something to the effect of, "You've got my belt, and I'm coming for it."
I love it.
Thank you for holding it for me, in other words.
I love you,
it's
Ken.
Fine.
Ken, I'm one of your biggest fans. I love you, brother.
Thank you, sir. I love you, too, man. I'm your fan, too, man. Like I said, I wish I could make it out to see you fight again. It was awesome sharing the card with you back, on, what was it, July 11th?
Yeah. You've been fighting. You've been busy. We've both been busy. But
yeah, that's a good thing for Oklahoma MMA, man. We got to do it.
Yeah, so what did you say in the cage there? Because you were stated you.
But, yeah, back to that. I actually listened to it afterwards, and I was like, man, I actually kind of, sounded a little cocky. And, I don't really like to put myself out like that, but, what I meant by that is basically back before, we all know I had the suspension, and it was scheduled for June 13th for me and Austin to fight for the title, and I just beat Austin. So that was kind of how I felt, after that fight,
yeah.
I would have actually champion right now. And, I really didn't mean it towards him like that, but that's kind of how it came out because, riding on emotions, and sometimes,
yeah.
You think before you talk, it's just how it is. But
that's
I respect him.
Good.
He won the belt.
Yeah, you just came out of a win, and those of us that have been with Rage in the Cage for a while know that you were actually in line to fight June for that title belt. So, yeah, we understand the history, and some other people may not have. So I didn't take it as you being cocky or anything, because we know that had you not had that suspension, for, you know, being late to, I think it was the April 19th event, and then you were on suspension for a couple of months, that you were actually supposed to fight for that belt in June. So I understood what you meant, but now that you're re-saying it, I can see why other people may have thought that was kind of cocky to say.
I mean, no one has actually confronted me about it. Oh, go ahead, Dee.
No, I'm saying, well, Ken, but hey, it's the truth, right? I mean, you're not telling a lie, so I can't be mad at you. I mean, it's just stating the truth. So if anyone took it offensive, I don't see how, because you just spoke the truth. That's the truth, and how exciting. I'm so excited. I can't miss this one, you know?
Well,
how exciting.
Another thing is, you know, you're just coming off of a win. You're high on emotion. So, you know,
yeah.
You don't always think about your words and how they might be taken to somebody else. But
yeah.
Personally, I didn't think anything of it. I think it's just part of the fight game, you know?
It is, and I mean, it's business, and I don't take anything from Brody. He's the champion. I'm not the champion, so with all due respect, you know, this will be my first 5-round fight. He's been through one, and so I don't take him lightly. I don't take the gym he trains out of lightly. I respect every fighter out of that gym. I've had a chance to meet some of these guys and see some of them fight, and so solid MMA. I respect them. Cobra Jiu-Jitsu, I respect it. And so, you know, I don't want to be cocky sounding, because that's not really my persona. I don't care to come off of that. I just want to be known that he's going to give his all, and that is it.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't consider
Ken,
you cocky at all, because, I mean, even in the cage, I mean, we all saw it live. I know D wasn't there, but Austin won that first round. I mean, he had you in trouble. That first round, and you said that, you know, in the interview that I did in the cage with you. I mean, right then and there, you said Austin. You know, you had
me. Yeah, give
me
a recap
round.
On that. Wow.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, as far as the stand-up game, I landed more effective striking in the entire fight. But from, you know, depending on, you know, you don't know what each judge is looking at, and he kind of wrote it out, you know, as far as his base, and, you know, his wrestling really helped him out. You know, he had me in double underhooks for a long time in that first round. He just beat me to the punch, and I kind of just stood it up for a while before he tripped me, and then when he did, I just kind of had to pull guard, and once that happened, I really wasn't in trouble at that point. So anyone looking from a jiu-jitsu standpoint will understand it. I really didn't get hit at all when he was on top of me. I controlled it pretty well. You know, head arm control. I mean, every jiu-jitsu fighter knows it. And I mean, Kevin Williams knows I've been over this. TJ Tomlin knows we've been over this. And like, I just can put it up to my team and the wrestlers that I got to train with. You know, like, for one, you know, Jacob the Hulk, you know, like, I trained with him and his brother Joe. And like, these guys, man, they'll slam me all over the place and they're on top of me and I'm used to it. So I'm a jiu-jitsu guy, but I'm used to being on my back, so, I mean, I think I did pretty well at that point, but, you know, depending on what the judge was looking at, they could have scored it for him, and that's kind of what Derek Atkins, and which is, I'm so proud for him stepping up to the plate while our coaches were out in Arkansas with the seminar with Master Arnaldo Tavares for the seminar, and so it was one of those things where us as a team kind of just stood up and we held together, and, I mean, I'm just so proud of that. I mean, to me, it's just one of those moments where it's defining for a gym to do that. And we did it, and I'm just proud of everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing, Ken, I know about you is, I mean, even going back, I mean, through all of your fights that I've seen, the previous fight versus Jacob Bell, where Jacob had you in, I think it was like maybe three separate triangle chokes, and, I mean, deep chokes, but you always hold your cool and were able to, you know, no matter what, you don't let things get to you. No matter what's going on, you're just riding it out and waiting till you can, you know, you just have a sense of calm and you wait to the moment to where, you know, you can take over. And you always get there. You always get to that moment where you can kind of get the advantage again. And, you know, you've come out victorious every single time you've been in the cage, sometimes for that reason, because you were just you've got that mind. You've got power over a lot of things just because you're able to keep your cool. You're just, it's kind of like your persona. You're a calm guy.
I mean, I am. Until I get in the cages where you actually see me actually kind of get to let loose a little bit, you know, and not be that guy. You know, I don't really, you know, a lot of people know me, and I spend a lot of time alone. I'm not, you know, we got our horses and stuff, you know, 13 acres, and I'm gated. So I run up the street that's kind of secluded. I train a lot, you know, out here by myself, and it's a good thing for me. It was the worst thing when it happened, but now it's just, like, great. And so my persona comes from that, and I just want to stay grounded through it all, man. I mean, everything that's going on now, I'm so ready to go back to the gym and fix the mistakes I've seen in this last fight as well as the Jacob Bell fight. I mean, I just want to capitalize and just compound on,
well,
you know, these victories and keep moving forward.
And Ken, I wanted to ask you, Ken, how is your, now that, you know, as an amateur, now you know you got a belt shot, now you know who you're fighting, is your training going to change up any, a little bit, since you are being able to prepare for someone you know you're going to fight, you know his school, you've seen him fight, is your training going to change at any, or are you going to just, what's your plans for your training to take this next fight for the belt?
My training is pretty much been, since I started fighting, I've always known that, or at least I've always thought, I had the faith in myself that I'd make it to the next level. So I've always trained to be in a fight that lasts this long. So I'm just going to continue to, you know, keep my cardio. And what I want to do and what I like to do is just, like I said, progress, man. I want to compound on what I've been doing. I do not want to stop at in plateau. I want to keep going higher levels. You know, I want to graduate to a higher level of fighting. So for each level,
well,
keep pushing.
And that brings my next thing to talk about, Ken, is I know that I'm talking to a future pro. I know that you're 6-0. You're about to fight for the title. And I know that here, you know, eventually, sooner than later, you're going to be a professional fighter out of the state of Oklahoma. Do you feel the same way? I'm sure that's your plan. That's where you're headed. But I know as a fighter and being in the business that this is for real. You're going to be a premier fighter at your weight class in the professional level.
First off, you know, speaking about an Oklahoma pro, Jeremy Spoon, guys, support him. $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, $10. Get him out here so we can bring this belt back to Oklahoma. You know what I mean?
Yes.
This is what it's about, networking, supporting each other, leaning on each other. We have tornadoes. People go without houses. We support water, you know, everything. We have to be the foundation of something that hasn't took off in Oklahoma yet, which is MMA fighting.
Thank you.
You know, too many people I talk to don't know what MMA stands for, and so we have to push. And Jeremy, man, he's what, 16-2? I watched him fight, and I was proud, you know. And one thing I could tell you is we shared my table in the locker room was right by Jeremy. He slept on the mat on the ground. I slept in the wrestling ring that was set up in the locker room. You know, like just calm. I mean, it was an honor to share it with him, you know. And I told him, you know, I look up to him because, you know, what he's done for the sport, because he did it taking off and made it where it wasn't where Raising the Cage had these radio stations or the interviews or the stuff on YouTube. You know, he did it in a time where it was hard to make it in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm trying to help him out, man. And, guys, just help out Jeremy, you know. But as far as the topic goes, pro is very near. I feel like I'm getting closer to performing at that level, and I'm starting to become one in my own in this cage. And I'm not nervous. I just, you know, only time I think of being nervous is not putting on a good show for you guys. You guys pay your money. I want to do it, and it's always going to be my philosophy. We're going to come out, fight our heart out, and train our hearts out in the gym, blood, sweat, and tears, and we're going to let it go.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm not going to ever let go of anything for these guys. I'm going to push through the triangle chokes, the arm bars, the guillotines, you know, the heel hooks. We're going to try to avoid it all and just keep going, man. We want to push for you guys, man. And I'm here to do that for Oklahoma MMA. And I'll be around and raising the cage because, like I said, you got to take care of home. So no matter how big I get, whether it's pay cuts or whatever I got to take to come back to home, we're going to be home. So don't worry about that.
Well, we certainly appreciate that. You know, the thing is, I've heard this so many times from different people, and they'll come up to me, and one of the first things they say to me is, Raging the Cage. It's all about Ken Coulter. You guys love Ken Coulter. And it's true. We can't deny it. We do love Ken Coulter. And, you know, as far as, you know, even on the posters, you know, people have said, you know, usually you only have the pros on the advertisements and the posters, but ours normally have, of course, Ken Coulter. It's because this guy is dedicated to Oklahoma City sport and he's dedicated to raising the cage. And, you know, he's just a genuinely likable guy. I mean, until somebody gets in the cage across from you, Ken, they like you. I mean, you just can't not like Ken Coulter. You know what I mean?
He is a great face of Oklahoma MMA.
I'm honored to say that, Ken. Thank you, sir. I wouldn't touch you deep, but I think you're very good looking as well, sir. I don't want to be your
Thank
enemy.
You,
I'm your
man.
Friend. Remember that.
Yeah, big guys can be pretty too.
I think so, man. You're a pretty good looking big guy, man. But, you know, the whole thing about the posters, man, they have to realize that I've had big fights offered to me. For the people that want to think that Ken Coulter couldn't have been anywhere else, I turned down the Legacy fight that was at the Hard Rock Casino in Tulsa. We have a fight that is in the wind right now at the Bank of Oklahoma Center October 4th. So it's not like I could not be fighting anywhere else. So when I tell you I'm here for home, you guys need to realize it and support us trying to do good things, man. I want to change my neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's what the force from when I come out. You know what I mean? I'm trying to bring the spotlight back to a place where it seems like people have forgotten, man. Like, it's bad. Like, we need help.
Support
Jeremy. Like, I'm here for a good cause. I don't, you know, just want to push my brand. I want to push the charity that can help out with, you know, light bills, rent, or whatever small task may be. We got to start out small. But I'm here for a good cause, man. Do not underestimate what I am. I am thinking the sky is the limit. I'm going to take this for what it's worth, but it also I want to take it and help a lot of more people than just myself and my family. So,
well, and I can totally attest to that, Ken, because even in April, on April 19th, when we did the benefit show for the bombing victims, in which, you know, of course, I worked at News 9, of course, and met the bombing victims, and, you know, we did a fundraiser for them because, of course, they still had financial issues. You had an opportunity at that time to be on another show, a larger show, and you turned it down in order to be on that fundraising show. So that speaks of your character. You don't always think about what's best for Ken Coulter in the moment. You think about what's best for other people. And that's why I admire you.
Oklahoma community.
You have to be that way. You know, certain people are blessed with talents, and I don't know if I've said it, but I'll keep saying it, you know, because sometimes some people don't catch every interview, but, you know, with great talents come great responsibility. I'm going to use mine to make a difference, even if it's small, and I don't really mind about anything else, but what I'm doing, it puts spotlight on me, it puts spotlight on my state, and I'm going to take it and run with it, man, and we're going to try to change some things. I don't want things to continue like what I see from my neighborhood, and it's not just my neighborhood. It's a lot of neighboring neighborhoods and across the state neighborhoods, and it's just the wrong persona of guys to follow, man. And fighting is not just a fight for people to think we just go in here and we fight, and I don't like this guy, and I'm going to fight him. It's very disciplined, you know. We come out, we shake hands before and after, and it's the best thing ever. It's a sport. It's entertainment. And so this is why I strive to train so hard to put on for you guys, because it's important to me to make sure that you get your money's worth. I don't like you guys thinking that it's just a fight. I just want to, you know, have it clarified that it's actually a sport, and we do respect the other person that we're swinging blows at.
Yeah.
So trash talk or not, you know, we respect them, man. It's entertainment, and we try to put on a show for y'all. And I respect each and every man that ever fought in the cage, winning record or not. My hat's off to all y'all. So from Ken Coulter to everybody that's ever in the cage, there you guys go, man. I respect all y'all. So I'm not that type of person. I don't look down on anyone, and I'm open to the task of trying to get this belt from this guy.
Hey, man. That's inspirational, Ken.
Definitely.
I'm telling you, what was besides your victory, Ken, what was one of your, because I had to miss the show. I was up, I had to go to work myself, but I was with all my fellow gladiators. But what was your most memorable moment of Rage in the Cage 30 since I missed it? You know, if it was something in your fight, it was, but what is something that you took, a memory you took from the night?
I guess in that case, I took a lot of things, man. The size of these fighters, man, that I'm fighting, I've realized that I've been undersized. My work ethic and my low body fat makes me appear a little bit bigger cut than what I really am. I actually only have been walking around about 5-6 pounds bigger than 155 weight class, and so that was one thing. The heart of Jeremy and just the progress and of what I've learned on pushing the pace when it's time to, you know, things like that. I did it a lot with Jacob Bell, and so I took the things and I compared what I seen between him and besides the fact that those elbows he landed was just pretty gruesome. I can't throw those yet, but I'm looking forward to it coming up next year. I took that, and then the back flip. I flip around as a kid a lot. Like, that's part of me performing. That's part of Ken culture. Like, the flipping and stuff like that, that's part of the show, man. And just show up. You never know what I'm going to do. And you know one thing, I'm hitting the cage. I've been doing it since my second fight. We're hitting the top of the cage, though. This is the first fight that I actually start flipping, but depending on how long the fight lasts and how it ends, you know, you can't control things like that. But we look to try to put on a show for everyone, man. So please don't miss it. When you see me on the card, just come out knowing that you don't know what's going to happen. You never know.
That's right. And hey, Kim, maybe we could get you to walk around the top. Maybe we could get you to walk around the whole top of the cage when you win the title.
I'm gonna figure something out. If I do win it, you know, because I know he's tough, and my opinion, I do know that he's been getting bigger since his last fight. I've seen him in between each fight, which, you know, honestly was part of me calling him out because he showed up at my July 11th fight, but he was unavailable to fight. Then he showed up again last Friday, and he was unavailable to fight. You know, and I honestly don't knock him because he wanted to get back to, you know, able to cut his weight down and come in big and to perform as a champion. So I really don't knock it. Just know I know what has happened. And so I'm going to also come in as a Ken Coulter that anyone has ever seen because I haven't touched the weight my whole MMA career. So now I get to get back to the weight. So it's going to be a good one, man. So this is going to be nice. So that's
Yeah, I hope to have you on the show. Yeah, I hope to have you on the show again here before the next fight, of course, and have you talk about it. Of course, we're kind of running out of time here tonight, so we're going to have to wrap this right now and get on to our next interview, Ken. But I seriously, I am so excited. It's always a good night to talk to you, and I always leave feeling so excited for you and, you know, everything that you have ahead for you. So thank you so much for coming on tonight. We really appreciate it. And right now we're going to head on over to Ken Kerbo for some tips on getting through life's ground and pound. Here's Pastor Ken.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is Pastor Ken. The Bible says in Romans 8:38-39, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You
want to
know the nature of God's love. That's a normal question for us as a human being. He loves you when you're down on the mat struggling to get back on your feet, not just when you're on top of the world pounding away. He loves you the same when you lose 7 fights in a row as he does when you win 7 fights in a row. His love is the same for you before, during, and after the fight. His love never changes. Can anything choke out the love Christ has for you? God answered your question before you even ask it. He stepped out of heaven and into the cage of life to take it on the chin for you and I. Through Christ, you are more than a conqueror. You are anointed fighters loved by God. He raised your hand in the air, and he said, "You're the champion." Have you told him thank you today? Remember, it's called a fight for a reason, so keep fighting.
Well, always great messages from Pastor Ken. We're so appreciative of that. And we've got our next guest in queue already, Jacob the Hawk Gaither. Welcome so much to Rage in the Cage Radio, Jacob.
Hey, thanks for having me back. How are y'all?
We're doing great. Sorry, we're running a little bit. Man, Dee and I, we like to talk, so we run a little bit behind on our show. So glad that you hung out and waited for us. And we're so appreciative of you being on here. And, you know, your fight, of course, you come out and you are the nicest, soft-spoken person in person, but when you get in that cage, it's like your whole face changes, kind of like the Hulk. So tell us about your fight.
That's why it's the Hulk.
Exactly.
Give me a rundown on the fight, Jacob. I missed it, but I know you got a round one dominating minute and 16-second rear naked choke, and I just want to congratulate you for starting off to a very dominant career here in MMA. But kind of give us a quick rundown about your fight and how you feel coming out of it.
All right, so basically I took a shot early in round one. He put me in the guillotine. TJ Tallman, my coach, he wasn't there, but I heard him in my head. Sunday we worked on guillotines, and he said, Sunday, doesn't matter how big you are, doesn't matter how strong you are, if you don't have a guillotine hooked up right, you can squeeze with all the strength you got in your body, but you're not going to submit your opponent. So he had me in a guillotine, but he didn't have it hooked up right, and he was squeezing with everything he had, but I just waited until his arms got tired, and then I popped my head out, and Hulk did what Hulk does.
Great.
Awesome. Well, I know that there was a little bit of controversy on his part and his fight team a little bit because, of course, his shorts come down a little bit, and, of course, when he went to pull him up, you didn't realize, you know, you can't see behind him, and, of course, that's when he got a punch, and then quickly thereafter, of course, you won the fight. So how did that feel? Did you feel like that was taken away from you any, or?
No, to me, that was early in the first round. He still had a chance to come back and fight. That's a problem on his part. To me, that's no different than getting a mouthpiece that doesn't fit your mouth.
You're exactly right.
It's equipment failure on his part. So to me, that's his fault. They don't take
anything
away from me.
Yeah, and they tell you to protect yourself at all times.
Yeah, and I mean, I still did what I did, so it doesn't take anything from me.
That's
well, coming
awesome.
Out of this win, I know you're probably feeling even stronger. You know, I know we're kind of cut on limited in time, but what's next for you, Jacob? I mean, I hope to get to see you fight soon. I had to miss this fight. I was fighting as well up in North Tulsa, but what's next for the Hulk? And I know starting off dominant like this in your career, do you have plans on going pro in the future? Or kind of give us a rundown on what you're looking at next, if you have any opportunities already, and where you're planning on going with this.
Yeah, I'm definitely planning on trying to turn pro at some point. Right now I'm just trying to expand the fan base and reach out and get more sponsors and just, you know, looking at the business side on top of training for the next fight.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, I did hear that you were the fighter that sold the most tickets out of every fighter on the card. Is that correct?
Even beat out the pro fighters that have fought for Bellator before. So, you know, when you say expanding your fan base, you know, I mean, I've always told, you know, of course, the time that we've known each other, I've told you that I'm impressed with your ability to think about beyond the fighting, because of course we know that if you don't have talent in the cage that you're not going to make it far, but you also have to think about the business side and building your fan base. And I've always been impressed with you because of that, because this was just your second fight, and to already be this far along in that is absolutely impressive. And, you know, it just tells me and anybody else I think that knows you is, I mean, it's a given you are talented in that cage. I mean, anybody that was at that fight Friday night or at your first fight knows that. Now they also see the other side. They see that there was not a person in that room Friday night not screaming your name. I mean, that's impressive to me.
It was.
Doesn't
great.
That feel good?
Yeah. It was great. there's really not a word to describe the feeling when you hear that many people cheering for you.
Yeah.
But it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning.
It is just the beginning. And what impressed me also is that, you know, you went to your fans. You thanked your fans. I mean, even the number of fans that you had there, I mean, you packed the house. But you took the time to, you know, thank your fans for being there. And, I mean, that just impressed me. Like I said, I mean, just this early on in your career that you have the knowledge to do those things and to, you know, I mean, that's important. It really is.
Yeah, it's definitely important to spend some time with the fans. And I'm not going to lie, I enjoy walking into a crowded room full of my fans and having to take a picture with every one of them and talking to them all. And it's fun. I enjoy it.
That's what Raising the Cage Oklahoma City brings. It's a great feeling.
Actually, a lot of these people that I think it was around 140 or so tickets that I sold, probably 90% of those people have never been to a Rage in the Cage fight.
Wow. So that really brought them into their first Rage in the Cage experience.
Yeah, and they're definitely all looking forward to coming back.
Awesome. Well, I know how Kimber has said we're definitely looking forward to having you back. I don't know, do you have anything set yet as far as your future yet, or are you still waiting to confirm?
Yeah, I'm still just kind of waiting to see. There's a possibility I might be fighting October 4th in Tulsa, and I can't do Rage in a Cage and the one in Tulsa.
Yeah. Well, and you're gonna come across opportunities like that, you know, and just like I have, and I had to fight in Tulsa, but I guarantee you, every time you're back at Rage in a Cage, you're gonna feel that hometown Oklahoma City pull, and it's gonna make a difference that you're gonna see throughout your career as well as I have. So I know that we're blessed having you on the cards, on the show. And is there any shout-outs you want to give before we wrap up the interview, and any people you want to thank again here live on air?
Yeah, I want to thank all my sponsors. You guys know who you are. All my fans that came. You guys just heard me say I'll either be at the next Rage in the Cage or I'll be fighting October 4th at 205, so look forward to that. I want to give a shout-out to Ken and Derek and all the guys I train with at American Elite. It's been fun. It's going to keep being fun. That's about it.
Oh, great. Jacob, we are so, you know, honored to have you, that you were on Rage in the Cage 30.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, yes, I'm sorry, I'm back. For some reason, I lost air for just a second there, but I'm back, and if everybody can hear me, thank you so much, Jacob, for being on the show, and we just all of a sudden just went to nothing, so we're having storms out here. I don't know about you guys in your area, but we're having storms out here where I am, so maybe that's affecting the phone lines just a little bit. But thank you so much, Jacob, and we'll hopefully talk to you soon if you're on a future card.
Can't wait.
Awesome.
I wish you the best, Jacob.
Hey, thanks,
thank
man.
You so much.
I'll talk to you guys next time.
Sounds perfect.
Sounds great.
Thank you. You have a great night. All right, well, now we're headed to Shane McCabe, who is Rage in the Cage's ring announcer, and he's announced for us, I believe his first night was in March.
Yes, on my first fight.
D. Yeah, so
that was Shane's first experience with Rage in the Cage, too, as well. So we kind of started together.
Oh, awesome. You there, Shane?
I am here. Good evening. How y'all doing?
We're good. Thank you so much
good,
for waiting
Brother
for
Shane.
Us. We find that we end up talking a little bit more than what we plan sometimes, but it's
that's
all good.
Right.
Right.
It's all good, it's all good stuff to talk about, that's for sure.
Good. And well, I hope you guys all enjoy it as much as we do.
Yes. And Dee, congratulations on the win up there. That was awesome. I love looking
thank
at the photos.
You.
Wish I could have been there live for you, man. That was cool.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Shane. I appreciate it. I heard great things about Raising the Cage. How was the crowd? How was the atmosphere Friday night? Give me some
it's
feedback.
Incredible. It was absolutely incredible. It was. You should have seen the place. It was packed up in the balcony, and normally where the DJ's booth is in the farmer's market, there was chairs all the way to the wall, packed full. It was awesome.
I know they were talking about it even up till Saturday up in Miami, Oklahoma, where I was boxing. They were talking about the Oklahoma City fights or the Raising the Cage fights. Were just one of the commissioners, and he's been in the business a long time, said he thinks that's the most packed he's ever seen the farmer's market venue. So, wow, what an amazing night.
Yeah, it really was. It exceeded my expectations, and that was my fifth show. And I can't thank Kimber and Mike enough, Mike Crawford, the owner, and Kimber Schaefer. I just really appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to work and get out there and learn the business, improve, and have a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a great show that's being put on, and it continues to get better every single month.
Yeah.
With the interviews and the fighter promotions that Kimber's doing, it's just, if you haven't come to a Rage in the Cage show, you are definitely missing out on a high-quality, low-cost experience right here in Oklahoma City.
Yes, yes. How do you feel, Shane, about your announcing here when you started? Because, you know, we both started helping Rage in the Cage around the same time in March. Actually, you announced my comeback fight. How's it been on the journey, and what have you seen as the announcer with the crowds, the venues, the fights, the fighters? What have you seen as far as you said growth, and how do you feel about it and the direction it's going?
Well, first of all, I love it. I love the atmosphere. It's high energy. Everybody who is there is either a fighter themselves or a friend and family member of a fighter. So what you have is a lot of highly motivated people that I have the utmost respect for. And I've said it before, I'll constantly say it. These fighters that come out here, they are doing what everybody else just talks about doing. They're training.
Amen.
They're dieting. They're getting up at 5 in the morning to go do two-a-days when they have a full-time job. They're not sitting on the couch saying, wouldn't it be cool if I did that? They're actually getting out there and setting their goals, working to achieve them, and then actually competing. So, to me, you might have a win-loss record, but there are no losers in this sport.
Yes.
If you get out there and you put it on the line, and it's you and one other man or woman standing in that cage going toe-to-toe, and you don't know what the outcome's going to be, anything could happen from grappling to kickboxing to wrestling.
Yes.
I have nothing but respect for these competitors and their families and friends that support them, as well as their coaches and also the gyms. Running that business and being a gym owner is just as difficult, maybe even not more difficult, than being the fighter himself.
Yes, you're exactly right. And that's why I'm sure you feel the same passion as me and Kimber. Is just the Oklahoma fight community is like a family, and it's all so giving. And that's like I was me and Kimber promoting Jeremy Spoon to get him to Iowa. You know, that's why it's so important about what we're doing and even what you're doing of giving back to the Oklahoma City fighting community. But, you know, it's important that we stick together. I know Kimber's mentioned it. And it's like an Oklahoma fight community is like a big family. I mean, I'm sure you feel the same way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hanging around after the fights and, you know, when the whole show's over and the crowd's gone, but the promoters are still there, the owners are still there, the fighters are hanging around.
Yes.
And two guys could have been in the ring just taking punches at each other's head and trying to choke each other, and now they're downstairs patting each other on the back and talking about training techniques and diet, and
It's a wonderful community, and you know, some people might think that it's a brutal sport, but if you ever spent time with it, you'd understand how scientific and how precise it is.
Yeah.
And if we could just shift the mindsets of people thinking that this is a fight.
Very true.
Yeah, I look at it more as a competition. Nobody thinks about playing a pickup basketball game on Saturday and Sunday against their friend. But
right.
They don't want to go into the ring and wrestle them or choke them.
Right. Yeah. Well, and how brutal can that be, too, even a basketball game or a football game, you know?
Well,
so, I mean,
I've had the exact same injury, dislocated fingers in jiu-jitsu and basketball. So, you know, what's the difference?
Right. Well, let's talk about jiu-jitsu because you are also a jiu-jitsu competitor yourself. And so tell us how that helps you as far as your announcing and you just having the knowledge. I mean, you're not just saying, you know, speaking something that's scripted. This is things that you know and you recognize.
Right. I do compete in jiu-jitsu, and I work out at Oklahoma Martial Arts Academy with Seth Norman and Danny Meadows, and I just absolutely love the sport. It's something that keeps me in shape and keeps me stress-free as much as possible. It really helps out if a fight is ended by submission. That way I can go up and instead of just saying this fight was ended by a tap out, I can explain the move that was used and give it a name. And I've received, that's the one thing that surprised me the most, probably me. That's kind of what surprised me or what was about it. So I got two, but I actually knew what the moves were that they were finishing with.
Yes.
So true. So let's talk real quickly about Rage in the Cage 30. What do you think, as far as the fights went, were your most memorable moments?
As far as the fight goes, you know, I'm a bigger guy. I'm not the biggest of all of them, but I really have a soft spot for the heavyweights and the light heavyweights. It just seems like it takes so much more oxygen for us to get going. So I love the fight.
One of the big guys.
Oh my goodness! And he looked so much. He weighed in at 217, which is a small heavyweight. And he mentioned going back down to 205, which would not be a hard cut for him at all. But at 217, he just looked gigantic. He looked huge. And for him to get caught in that guillotine, and from where I was sitting at ringside, it looked like it was a deep, good, solid guillotine, and he stayed in it for what must have been at least 30 seconds. And then when you're in a choke for that long, that's like being in there for years. But him to be able to defend that choke and then actually turn the fight around, and then he defended the guillotine choke, got out of it, and then won the fight by rear naked choke. So that was probably stuck out in my mind as the most memorable fight in and of itself, just because I love to see the big guys go at it.
There you go.
Definitely
I like that,
fight.
Too.
And, you know, the funny thing is, I think from a men's perspective and a woman's perspective, it's always different as far as, you know, the things that are most memorable to you. I think Carlos Watson was most memorable to me just because his father being in the military, never being able to see one of his fights, and for the first time he was able to see it. So, that definitely felt good to me to be able to see his dad in that audience for the first time.
Well, and since you mentioned Carlos, I absolutely loved when he got on top of Aaron Webb with his body triangle. And that's one of my – if I can take somebody's back and put a body triangle on them, that is one of my favorite positions to be in. And then to Aaron's credit, he was able to escape that, get out of it, and continue the fight, take it on down the road to a decision, and Carlos ended up winning the decision. But I was really impressed with Aaron's ability to get out of that body triangle as well.
Right. Now, we just have about one more minute before we need to wrap. Shane, any other memorable moments you want to talk about?
Well, Emily Faith was on earlier, and my goodness, it was incredible. I was in the ring standing behind her when she was singing the national anthem, and I couldn't believe it. I was standing there watching. I couldn't believe how mature her voice was. And I was watching the people in the crowd just turning around to look and see who was singing. It was professional, top-notch. I have never heard a better version of the National Anthem. It was incredible.
I find it funny that you noticed the same thing I did, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah, the commissioners, they were standing down there at their tables and turning around looking almost in disbelief. So, but it, yeah. I promise you, it was not me singing it. It wasn't me doing it.
I mean, it really was unbelievable, and it was unbelievable to see how many heads really did turn around. I mean, I did it 3 times. I had to look at her 3 times, each time thinking, did I really just see that? So,
yeah.
I mean, really, you just didn't, nobody expected that.
No. And my wife was there, you know, and luckily she got to come to a show. She didn't get to make it to all of them, so she was there, and she said the same thing, that she had a tear in her eye when Emily was singing. It was incredible.
Oh, it really was. Well, Shane, we need to have you on the show much more often. I mean, you do a great job of talking about the fights and kind of giving us an overview. So hopefully you can join us again, talking about our next fight coming up, because you've gotten to know a lot of the fighters as well as Dee and I, and so we can kind of walk through some of the fight cards here in the next couple of weeks. And, of course, we've got an exciting fight card coming up for Rage in the Cage 31, and we'll start overviewing that next week.
Next week we'll start overviewing.
Dee and I, we need to get together and do a little jiu-jitsu. I'm not going to stand up with you, though. You'd knock my head off.
Hey, you know, that's what I need. I need some groundwork, so that I take you up on that.
All right.
That sounds awesome. Well, thank you all for joining us tonight, and we're going to leave you now with Ken Kerbo prayer, and see you next week. Thanks for joining us.
See you next week, guys.
Father, tonight we ask that you will show us how we can return the love that you have given to each one of us. We ask that you will cover us with your blessings. We ask that each fighter, each listener, and every member of this media team will decide tonight that they will strive to show the Savior's love to everyone they meet beginning tomorrow. It's one step, one word, one prayer, and one smile at a time. Thank you for your love and your grace. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
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 Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage. Better keep your hands up, take down full mount without giving heads up. Secure your limbs or you're gonna hear a snap. This ground and pound will lay you down for a nap. I sink it in and my advice is you should tap. I wouldn't be scared because I'm comfortable on my back. And if we're talking about jiu-jitsu, I promise my rubber guard will get you with my overhand, you won't know what hit you. I promise that the fans aren't gonna miss you. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network. Rage in the Cage on the MMA Madhouse Network.